And given the fact that this is a Christian society, the conclusion they came up with was God is angry. And this took the form of a debate, a civil war almost, between two wings of the Orthodox population, those who believe that the development of the veneration of icons, these are images of saints, so the Virgin Mary, of relics, the veneration of monks who were seen virtually as living icons, that that represented a return to pagan worship. And that the Byzantines, as the new Israel and as the new Rome, had fallen away. And as in the Old Testament, God had punished his chosen people by sending on them plagues and Arab armies and Slavs and all sorts of barbarians who were tearing apart the fabric of society. This led to an effort on the part of emperors, starting with the Emperor Leo III in 726 and ending in 843 with the Emperor Michael III, known as Michael the Drunkard. Leo III launched the first of a series of edicts known as iconoclastic edicts, that is the smashing of images, and forbade the use of icons in worship. Michael III would restore eventually the veneration of icons, and that would have important consequences for Orthodox worship. In this period of the iconoclastic controversy, while life is changing in the peninsula of Asia Minor, while the Byzantines are on the defensive against their more numerous and more wealthy Arab opponents, a religious civil war is being played out across the peninsula of Asia Minor and in the capital of Constantinople of what is proper Christian worship, what is truly holy. And in the end, the iconoclastic position, the position that was no icons, statues, all of this could potentially be idols, that position actually gained some points. The images are restored in 843, but the icons are very clearly defined as not holy. They are not equivalent to the sign of the cross. They are not equivalent to a church consecrated by a bishop or to a sacrament. At best, they remind the viewer of the humanity of Christ, of the passion, of the crucifixion, and of the promise. And if anyone sees an Orthodox church today, there is a real fear, a resistance to putting up freestanding sculpture, because the iconoclast had particularly targeted this sculpture as potentially idols, as potentially devil worship. And so the iconoclastic controversy to the Byzantines themselves really resolved many of the issues of why this decline. And it was perhaps a happy coincidence that the restoration of icons corresponded with the fragmentation of the Arab caliphate and the revival of Byzantine power. At the end of the 9th century, in 867, a new emperor, Basil I, probably the most unpopular emperor in Byzantine history, who was, in effect, a horse trainer in gigolo turned emperor, and never was there a more dubious emperor in his background, seized power, established the greatest family of the Middle Byzantine state, the so-called Macedonian family, the family from northern Greece. And that dynasty conducted a military political recovery for the next 125 years that really made the worship of icons the religion of victory, the religion of triumph. And so the correspondence of the breakup of Arab power, the launching of a Byzantine offensive by the Macedonian emperors, really confirmed the legitimacy of restoring those icons and those images and defining what Orthodox worship is all about. That gets us to our last topic, which is the revival of the Middle Byzantine state under the Macedonian emperors. The Macedonian emperors initiated a remarkable military and political recovery. This family ruled down to 1056. The greatest of its emperors was a man called Basil II, who ruled from 976 to 1025. He is known as Basil the Bulgar Slayer. He captures some 14,000 Bulgarians and has their eyes put out as a way to break Bulgarian resistance. He was perhaps one of the greatest and most ferocious warriors of the early Middle Ages. But what the Macedonian emperors do is establish their power and the power of Constantinople over the provinces of Asia Minor. Basel II in particular breaks the power of the great landlords, breaks the powers of the aristocracy in Asia Minor, who had challenged the imperial dynasty on a number of occasions in the 10th and 11th century. And that gets me back to the a point I had made in a previous lecture, and that is through the Middle Byzantine period, through the Dark Age, there was always this close association of Asia Minor with Constantinople.